1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 22, which is page 1217 in the church Bibles. If you need a Bible, please do wave a hand around. Someone would love to bring you a Bible. There's one in the middle here, if that's possible. Thanks so much. Anyone on the balcony need one? Fannin is poised. Wonderful. Let me pray, and then Becky will come and read the scriptures to us. Our Father in heaven, living God, you know that every year we pick some verses, some sentences from your scriptures that we pray and hope will shape us and guide us and direct us for the year that's ahead. And Father, as we read our verse for the year, which we've said many times already together this morning, but as we read it in its context of its letter that it's written in, we ask that you this morning would bring us understanding, that you would stir us by your Holy Spirit to not merely this morning be hearers of the word, even rememberers of your word, Lord, but we want to be doers. Father, would you stir us and motivate us to obedience to these words that we'll read this morning. Heavenly Father, would you do something in us today, something special, something that transforms us for this year ahead. And we ask this, please, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Let's read the scriptures. Becky, come and read to us. Thank you.
So 1 Peter, starting at verse 22. Now that you have purified yourselves by obeying the truth, so that you have sincere love for each other, love one another deeply from the heart. For you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and enduring word of God. For all people are like grass, and all their glory is like the flowers of the field. The grass withers and the flowers fall, but the word of the Lord endures forever. And this is the word that was preached to you. Therefore, rid yourselves of all malice and all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and slander of every kind. Like newborn babies, crave pure spiritual milk, so that by it you may grow up in your salvation, now that you have tasted that the Lord is good.
Thank you so much. A fairly recent survey of about 25,000 Christians highlighted this truth. About 33% of those 25,000 Christians seldom or never read their Bible. That's quite a big statistic, isn't it? That's 8,250 practicing Christians never opened their Bible. The report actually isn't all that negative. Encouragingly, 45% of Christians, practicing Christians, said that they opened their Bible once a week or more. That's encouraging, isn't it? But actually, as you read this report, there's a number of things that came out. First of all, if you're a woman, you're more likely to read your Bible than a man. Big up the women, hey, for a second. If you are over 30, anyone over 30 here? Come on, let's be honest. Be honest. If you're over 30, you're more likely to read your Bible than if you're under 30. That was something else that this survey showed. But as I stand back from this survey, here's the thing that really, I guess, disturbed me slightly, worried me, if that survey is representative, if 25,000 Christians is representative. Here's the thing that worried me. It means that over 50% of practicing Christians only open their Bible once a month or less. That's quite a worrying statistic, isn't it? And I don't know this morning where you would sit in the spectrum of those statistics. Some of us may be sitting here thinking, ooh, and you're just kind of ducking down in your chair. Some of us might be feeling okay about ourselves, particularly as we've ventured out as a church on this new Bible reading scheme, and we're going to say, yeah, we're going to open our Bibles every day. And listen, this morning, I share those statistics not because I want to guilt trip people this morning. Okay, I'm not trying to guilt trip people who are sitting there thinking, oh, I already came to church feeling quite bad, and now I feel really bad because I'm not someone who opens my Bible. No, what I want to do this morning as we dive into our verse for the year is I want to challenge you. I want to put something before you that I hope will transform you. That means you leave here wanting to open the Bible. Not guilted into opening the Bible, but that you want to. I want to share something with you this morning from these words that I hope will help you to see that the scriptures are good for us. And it's a good thing to do. Because you see, some of us might be sitting there thinking, well, what's the big deal? You know, why would I need to open my Bible? What's the big deal about that? You know, does it make any difference if I don't actually get my Bible? I'm going to come to church. I hear the Bible preached every week. Do I really need to read the Bible? And I want to share with you why it's a big deal if you don't open your Bible, if you open your Bible once a month or less. It's a big deal because that does not fit with the pattern that the New Testament urges followers of Jesus to conform to. Opening our Bible once a month or less does not fit with the pattern that the New Testament, that the apostles urge upon Christians. It's a pattern of behavior that is seen in our verse for the year. You see, here, the apostle Peter was one of Jesus' closest disciples. This is the words he wrote down. About 30 years after Jesus had been raised from the dead, he penned these words to a group of Christians. Not baby Christians, despite the metaphor. Some of those Christians were about 30 years old. 30 years old in their Christian life. And Peter writes these words to the New Testament believers. He says to them, like newborn babies, crave pure spiritual milk, so that by it you may grow up in your salvation, now that you have tasted that the Lord is good. That's what he writes to these early Christians. Peter urges them to be like babies who hunger for milk when it comes to the word. Who want to crave the word and presumably consume the word. Whose bellies, if I could put it like this, rumble for the word of God. If I could put it like this morning, it is that he wants us to be Bible babies who want the word. That's what he wants every Christian to be like. Every believer, whether you're a young believer or you're a mature believer, he wants us to be like Bible babies who crave the word of God. You see, that's what this metaphor impresses upon us, isn't it? Like, it's a metaphor. Like newborn babies. And we've got some newborn babies. Has she gone out or is she sitting somewhere? She's behind you. There she is. Look, you see, we have a newborn baby right in the congregation over here. Newborn babies, they crave, they hunger for pure milk, for what's going to nourish them. And we as Christians are to be like babies, craving for, hungering for the word of God. Now, we've got a little bit of work to do, okay, if you're with me. We've got to understand, well, why is pure spirit, why does that equate to reading your Bible, okay? Because otherwise it could have said, like newborn babies, crave the Bible. But it says, crave pure spiritual milk. Now, it's the context of these words that help us to understand that the pure spiritual milk that he's talking about is the word of God. So come with me on a journey. If you've got your Bible, chapter 1 and verse 23. Peter says to these Christians, for you have been born again. That's the picture, the language the Bible uses for someone becoming a follower of Jesus. They have been born into a new family, into a new life. And how did that birth come about? This new beginning for somebody? Well, look very carefully. It says that you were born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable. So not of something that fades away, but of something that lasts. And what is it that lasts? Have a look at the sentence. It is the living and enduring word of God. How did they become Christians? How did they get this new start, this new life? How were they born into God's family? It is through the word of God that was preached to them. It was as they heard the gospel of Jesus Christ, crucified, risen, so that we could be forgiven. It is through the word that they became Christians. It is through the word that they had new life. And Peter goes on, if you look at the end of verse 25, he says, this is the word that was preached to you. This is the message of Jesus that came to you, that you believed and gave you birth, through which God birthed you into his family. And in the context, you see, it's this word of God that birthed them that forms the backdrop to these words where he says, like newborn babies, now that you've been given a new life, you can see why he chooses the metaphor, can't you? Now that you've been given this new life in God's family, crave pure spiritual milk. The word spiritual in the original language is actually a play on words with the word word, if that makes sense to anybody. So you've got Peter drawing through this idea that the pure spiritual milk is the word of God that has brought them to life. And he says the word of God that gave you new birth is now the word of God that will sustain your life, the word that will feed you, the word that will keep you going. And he says, like newborn babies, crave the milk of God's word. You see, as followers of Jesus, we are being urged to long for the word of God. Be a Bible baby who wants the word. And notice the language around it. It's the pure word. Okay, listen, there is so much watered down word in our world today. You can get Diet Bible, you know. Coke Zero has got its thing, hasn't it? You can have the full-fat Coke, or you can have Coke Zero. Do you know you can get Bible Zero? You can get Diet Bible. Because people will teach you a watered-down version of what it says in the Bible. You'll get the bits people like, and they'll leave other bits out. But Peter says, no, what we should be craving and hungering for as Christians is the pure word, not watered down. We want to know the whole counsel of God, everything he tells us, the bits that we like to hear and the bits we don't like to hear. Crave it. We should be wanting pure word, not deceit. You know, not only do people water down the word to make it a bit more palatable, you know, a bit more consumerist, but actually people twist the word and they deceive people with the word. And we should say, no, we've got to leave that out. We should hunger the pure word, the whole counsel of God. And so you see the image that's building up here? Like newborn babies, like those who've been given a new birth into a new family with a new heavenly father, crave the word of God that brought you life. Crave it, hunger for it. Now, some of us who know our New Testaments will know that milk is actually a picture of Christian teaching. It's a picture in other places for the truths of the apostles that they passed down to us. And it's easy to think, well, maybe Peter here is talking about something for young Christians, you know, for baby Christians. When you become a Christian, a follower of Jesus, then absolutely you should be someone who's reading the Bible all the time because then you'll know what's going on. But actually, we can't import that. So elsewhere in Hebrews, for example, it talks about, you know, oh, you're still on milk and you should be on solid food. And maybe we think Peter's using it the same way here, but he's not. Here it's a picture, milk is a picture of the food we need all the way through our Christian lives. The milk of God's word. We're being urged, friends. And this is what was urged upon the early church. We are being urged to want the word of God. To want the gospel of Jesus. To hunger for it. As a baby craves for milk, we are to crave the word of God. You see why that survey worried me? Can you see that? 50% of people opening their Bible once a month or less? See, what is it that makes us think that in 2024 we need the Bible less than when Peter wrote these words in AD 60? See, we are to be those who hunger for the word. And yes, we're in a different place to them. So in AD 60, they didn't have a Bible like we've got today. You know, since 1450, when the invention of the printing press, this book has been the best-selling book ever. Did you know that? It's between 5 to 7 billion copies have been sold since the printing press in 1450. And we have this more available to us than any generation than has ever had it. You have it on your phone. You can have probably about 5 copies on your shelf, some of you at home. We have got the Word of God more available to us than we've ever done. But what do? We read it less than we've ever done. This is the Word of God. And we should crave it. We should long for it. And so as we enter 2024, it's really just one instruction that these verses carry for us, something that is urged upon Christians. Be Bible babies who want the Word. You want to hear it. You want to read it. You want to wrestle with it. You want to talk to others about it. We should be those who want the Word. And this morning, if you're thinking, well, okay, I could have worked that bit out myself. That's what we've just been singing about. We've done that. Here's the thing this morning. I want to give you 2 incentives. If you're still not convinced that that's what you should be doing, I want to give you 2 reasons that you should long for the Word every day. And it's these 2 reasons. The first is it's nutritious. The second is it's delicious. Okay, can we say those things together? It's nutritious and it's brilliant. Let's say it one more time. It's
nutritious.
Brilliant. That's all I want to convince you of this morning, okay? And then when we go from here, I want you to be convinced that the Bible is nutritious and it's delicious, and therefore you think, of course I would crave it. Of course I'd want to read it for myself. Of course I'd want to be in places where the Bible is opened. So first of all, the Bible is nutritious. Look how the verse goes on. So it says, like newborn babies, crave pure spiritual milk, so that by it, you may grow up in your salvation. The Word of God has all the nutrients needed to help us grow as followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. See, a baby, think of a baby who decided that they only wanted to feed once a month or less, that would be worrying, wouldn't it? Convenient. But worrying. There would be a serious lack of growth. We would be concerned if a baby only wanted to feed once a month or less. Because babies have this instinct, don't they? They have an instinct that says, I need nourishment. I am not going to grow physically if I do not take on the nourishment I need. And that is why a baby cries every few hours. Is that right, Wincy? A baby cries every few hours and says, feed me! Because they want the nourishment. They long for the very thing that will sustain their bodily growth. And in the same way, as believers, we should want the Word so that we grow up into our salvation. We make progress in our spiritual lives, in our progress of understanding the world the way God sees it, in our understanding of how to live as a disciple of Jesus, in our understanding of how to be church together. How are we going to grow up in those things if we never take on the nutritious Word of God that helps us to grow? That's what it means to grow up in your salvation. See, we often talk about salvation, don't we, as a past thing. Do you agree with that? You know, we are saved. That's what we come and we sing. I have been saved. Is it a past thing? No, it is. It is. It is a past thing. Let's encourage each other. It is a past thing, okay? I don't want to rob you of that. That's our assurance. I am saved. I have been saved because of the work of the Lord Jesus on the cross. It is a past thing. And yet you'll discover as you come to the New Testament that the word is used in a present tense, so I am being saved. And it's also used in a future tense, I will be saved. And Peter, and you know, every New Testament writer just uses it a little bit differently. Peter loves to use the phrase about the future. You see? So if you've got a Bible, come back with me, chapter 1, verse 5. He talks here about, through faith, are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed when Jesus Christ comes again in that last time. So Peter's got his eyeballs on salvation, i.e. the full salvation that Jesus Christ will bring when he returns. And he says, look, you take on the word of God so that you grow up towards that day. That's what he's got in mind, that the sort of the growth that occurs as we wait for that day, as we head towards that day. You know, think of it like a sunshine, and you're a flower. And which way do flowers grow? They grow towards the sun, don't they? And that day of Jesus' return, is a day that we should be growing up towards in our behavior, in our thinking, in sticking with Jesus. And Peter says, look, by taking on the word of God is how you grow up towards that day. It's how you stay in the right direction for that day. It's the word of God that keeps you trusting Jesus for that day. And more of that come back tonight because Jonathan's going to be preaching about that. It keeps us focused on Jesus. And so the word of God, you see, helps us to grow up in our salvation. The word of God is nutritious. Can we say that together? The word of God is
nutritious.
It will do you good. It will help you to grow up. But secondly, the word of God is
delicious.
Wonderful. The word of God is delicious. You see, look how the verse goes on. It says, let's do it a whole again. Like newborn babies, crave pure spiritual milk so that by it you may grow up in your salvation. It's nutritious. Now that you have tasted that the Lord is good. I don't know if you remember the old Pringles advert. They've stopped doing it now. Anyone remember the Pringles advert? Once you pop, you can't stop. Once you pop, you can't stop. And in fairness to them, maybe it's just my lack of self-control, but in fairness to them, they were right. Once you open a tub of Pringles, it is very hard to stop eating a tub of Pringles. Once you've popped the top and you start taking one or two, and then suddenly there's none left in the pot. How did that happen? They're very addictive, aren't they? Because they're delicious. Well, maybe some of you disagree, but I think they're delicious. And the same, you see, the same is actually true of the word of God. Now, we may not think that, but I'm going to persuade you that it is. The word of God is delicious. And I want to persuade you this morning that once you pop, you can't stop. Once you pop, you can't stop. Why? Why, once you get into the Bible, can you not stop eating the Bible? Because in the words, we meet the one whose words they are. It is through the Bible that we taste of the Lord. You see, we don't worship the Bible. Please be really clear about that. Some people, and I've had this thrown at me, because I'm someone who takes the Bible seriously. I want to hear what God says in the Bible. We treat the Bible as our authority. That's one of our kind of distinctive doctrines as a church. We think the Bible is the authority of God. And sometimes you will meet people who say to you, oh, well, you worship the Bible. There's a phrase for it, a bibliolatry, a worship of the Bible, idolatry. And I want to say to you, no, we don't. If someone ever says that to you, no, we do not worship the Bible. We worship the Lord who spoke the Bible. We worship the one whose words these are. Because words are how you get to know someone. Words are how you taste of somebody. It is in the Bible that we meet the Lord himself. And that we begin to experience all of who he is. You see, that's the argument here. This word now, grow up in your salvation, now carries the sense of since you've tasted. Or actually in the original language, and some of you will remember the old NIV translation, it has an if. Does that, some people remember that? If you have tasted that the Lord is good. Now, that's not casting doubt on the fact that you've tasted he's good. That's simply saying, look, you've already tasted. Okay? The word was preached to you. The gospel came to you. You have tasted of how good the Lord is in saving people like us who've walked away from him. He sent Jesus to die for us. And you read that and you experience it and you say, wow, God is good. Now that you have tasted that the Lord is good, why would you put it down and stop eating? Why would you put the Bible down and say, well, you know, wow, I've tasted the Lord is good. I feel so satisfied. No, actually, there's more. There's more where that came from. There is more in the gospel. The word of God is delicious because it brings you closer to the Lord who is delicious. And one writer puts it like this, reading the Bible is addictive when we begin to get the taste. What we taste in Scripture is not simply the variety and power of the language. And believe me, the Bible's an awesome book. If you dive into it, you've got a variety of genres and literature and some incredible bits of writing. But it's not that. No, what we taste in the Bible is the Lord himself. Once you pop, you can't stop. Because in it, you get to know the Lord. In it and through it, you get to know the Lord in a deep and a lasting and a meaningful relationship, an experience of him. How are we doing for time? Come back with me to chapter 1, verse 8. Chapter 1, verse 8, if you've got a Bible in front of you, it says this. He's talking. Now, remember, these Christians have, they're 30 years out from Jesus going back to heaven. Okay, and they've not seen Jesus, lots of these guys. And so they're relying, just like we are, on the testimony of those who did see Jesus. You with that? And so in chapter 1, verse 8, he describes, Peter's writing to these early Christians, and he says this, though you have not seen him, you love him, and even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy. Now, for years, as a Christian, I read that verse and I think, I want some of that. Don't you? I'm not sure, in fairness, that my joy and sometimes the expressions of my joy could be described as, what does he call it there? Inexpressible and glorious joy. Now, I know joy looks different, and you can't kind of one-size-fits-all joy, but I'm not sure it's inexpressible and glorious joy. And I thought, well, how did they get there? Here's a group of people just like us who hadn't seen Jesus, and yet he describes them as having this inexpressible and glorious joy. How did they get there? Well, they must have got there through the Word of God, through the Word about Jesus, through the apostles' testimony, through Peter's testimony, who saw Jesus. And that is the word that we have. How do I arrive at a deep and a meaningful and a joyful relationship with the Lord? Through his word. Once you pop, you just can't stop. Imagine, you know, just think about it like this. I mean, what kind of a relationship would I have with my wife if I said, do you mind if we just talked once a month? Or maybe less. Is that okay? What sort of relationship would that be? And it's the same. You see, what I'm trying to persuade you of this morning isn't just to, oh, you know, it's time to wake up, and now I do my Bible readings, and now I clean my teeth, and now I go out the house. No, what I want to persuade you of is that when you open the Bible, you're investing in a relationship with God. You're tasting of the Lord. You know, when once again he speaks a promise to you and you think, God, I needed that promise today. I needed to hear those words of you, my heavenly Father. When you've messed up again and you hear the voice of God and he says to you, you're my child whom I love. With you I'm well pleased because you're trusting Jesus. Then you get a taste of the Lord. When life is upside down and you think, where is God in all of this? And you read the stories of the Bible and you see God's sovereign hand, even behind the hard things we're going through. And you think, Lord, you're still there. When you open the Bible, you taste of the Lord. You taste that he's good. You see, the problem for many of us, the problem that many of us have, and I want to push you on this a little bit. If we don't open our Bibles, the problem is that we've not popped. You see, the Pringles thing is once you pop, you can't stop. You know, I've got all the self-control in the world when it's sitting on the side and no one's popped the top. But as soon as you pop the top, I'm in. And the problem for many of us, the reason many of us don't have that kind of love relationship with the Bible is because we haven't popped. We haven't got into the rhythm of getting the scriptures open and trying to read it for ourselves and sit with others and read it. And when we got a question, we're hungry to find out the answer. We want to be those who consume the word of God because it's nutritious and it's delicious. It gets us into deep and meaningful relationship with the Lord. My time is gone, but here we go. As we enter 2024, will you be a Bible baby? I'm not guilt-tripping you into that. But I want you to be a Bible baby who wants the Word. I want you to walk out of here today not thinking, oh, here's another thing I've just got to do, another thing to feel guilty about. I want you to walk out of here this morning thinking, I want the Word because I want to grow up in my salvation. I want to grow towards that day that's coming. And because I want to taste that the Lord is good, I want to know Jesus better. You know, when you wake up in the morning, don't see it as a chore. See it as spending time with the tastiest person in the whole universe. See, that's my heart this morning for us, is that we read the Word of God because it's nutritious and it's delicious. And I want to say to you this morning, some of you may be sitting here and thinking, oh, I don't even know where to begin. And if that's you this morning, please don't walk out of here without grabbing the person sitting next to you and saying, hey, could you just help me out? What do you do? And if the person sitting next to you doesn't do anything either, grab the person next to them and say, well, what do you do? Until you've got a big chain of people who can be finding someone who says, yeah, well, this is what I do. It's not a perfect pattern, but it's how I do it. If you want help to get started, there'll be a ton of us around afterwards as well. Hopefully, I think I even brought mine downstairs. We've got these orange lanyards on. There's a group of us around. Come grab someone. And just say, could you get me going? I want to start with the words. I want to start reading. I want to start tasting that the Lord is good. And if you're here this morning and you wouldn't yet call yourself a follower of Jesus, then all I simply want to say to you is, give the Bible a read. Give the gospel of Jesus a read. Get into the Word of God. Because it's through the Word of God that you can be brought to this new life, this fresh start, this forgiveness. Will you put your trust in Jesus? That's what the Word of God will call you to. Will you taste and see that the Lord is good so that we too can grow up? You can grow up with us towards that day of salvation. I know I've said it lots of times, but can we say our verse for the year one more time together? Let's say, like newborn babies, crave pure spiritual milk so that by it you may grow up in your salvation now that you have tasted that the Lord is good. May God help us today. Oh, yeah, go on, give us the verse. We always leave that bit off. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 2 and 3. Wonderful. Let me pray for us. Our Father in heaven, we praise you for your living and enduring word, the word of Jesus that has been preached to us, through which we have been given birth into a living hope, to a new life, to an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, and fade. Please help us to crave the word. Help us this year to be Bible babies who want the word, just like babies want their milk. Please help us to be those who wake up daily with an appetite for the word so that we might grow up in our salvation. That we might grow to maturity and holiness and stay on the path to that full and final experience of salvation when Jesus returns. May our times in your word bring us more and more joy in Jesus as we taste of his kindness and goodness. And this we ask, please, in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 We've got a new